It's awesome that you came to church tonight. Are you glad that you're here? Good. Man, the guys did an awesome job of praise and worship, didn't they? Always do. That was incredible. Next week, because we're doing this detox thing, and it's not, I think maybe, you know, if you weren't here this morning or whatever, maybe you're like, well, detox, really? Like, what is that about? Because it's not like we're not just going to eat celery for a week. If you want, you can do it, and it'll probably do you some good. But it's about engaging with the Spirit and getting like the world out of your life and getting your life filled with the Spirit. And so next Sunday night, I thought that we would just, you know, we'll give the worship team some extra time and we'll do some praise and worship and some prayer and we'll really get into that. So it's going to be a really special night. And so make sure that you are here next Sunday night and next Sunday morning. And why not just come, you know, why not be in church on a Sunday, I reckon? Like, that's what Sundays are for, aren't they? So let's get here. Sweet. All right. I'm going to talk tonight, and we're going to continue the detoxing thing. And before I do that, I'm going to pray. God, I just thank you so much for the time that we have together. Thank you that you have a word for us and that you want to speak to us. God, I thank you that you love us and you love us passionately and furiously, and you want to do all that you can to have relationship with us. And so, God, right now we want to have open hearts and open minds to hear your word. And God, I pray that you would help me to get out of the way and that you would just speak through me by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I hope this goes okay tonight. I've got a lot of thoughts, and I'm going to try and get them in. They're in an order, and hopefully that works. That's generally how a message works, in case you're wondering. You have all these ideas and these verses and these things, and then you try and put them in some sort of coherent order so that people actually can understand and remember them. That's like behind the curtain there for everyone. Anyway, so we're talking about living in the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking about that because, like, the Holy Spirit, it's like, you know, the Trinity. There's the Father, there's the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, I think, sometimes gets treated like the weird uncle. It's like, you know, we're okay with God the Father, we're okay with Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, it's like, oh, he's a bit weird. And I don't know about him. I'm right, yeah? Come on. But God is Father, Son, Spirit, Trinity, and we can't ignore the Holy Spirit. And if we do, then we miss out on a full third slash whole, because the Trinity is confusing, of God. And so we can't miss out on that, amen? And we are in this world that is just like spiritually starving, where people are just like, they're searching for something spiritual. They're looking for it anywhere and any way they can. And like, you know, maybe they don't realize it, but people are hungry for the Spirit. And as the church, we push it away because we think it might be weird, while people are starving. And it's just really, it doesn't make sense to me. And it's really silly. And I think it's because, you know, people, you know, the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Ghost or stuff like that. And weird stuff happens. And so it's like, oh, I don't want to even go near that. You know, I'm okay with Jesus. He was a nice guy. He had a beard. I'm okay with God. I imagine him in the heaven, in the cloud with, you know, the white hair and the big voice. And, you know, you can picture that. But the Holy Spirit, it's harder to kind of grab a hold of, yeah? But we need to, you know, like we were in Cambodia and in Laos last year, and Hugh and I went and did some camps, and there's the guys, like the little Buddhist monks that like will give you a blessing for like, you know, a dollar, like a US dollar, and they'll tie a little thing, piece of string around your wrist. And you get to the airport on the way home, and there's just like, you know, every second white guy has like 50 things tied on their wrist, because somehow they think, oh, this guy is spiritual. And so I want to get that sort of spiritual thing, and they want some sort of spiritual connection, but they're being deceived, yeah? And we have the only true Spirit, the Spirit of God that lives in us, but instead of people coming to God and to His Spirit in their life to fill that hole that they know is there, that they're buying pieces of string of weird guys. Like, It's silly and it's sad and it's something that really gets me, yeah? And as I think more and more on the Spirit of God, it just saddens me that, you know, we don't just embrace it more and more and more, Yeah, amen. And that's what this is about. This is what Detox Week is about. It's about saying, yep, we want more of God's Spirit in our heart because it's what was left for us. You know, Jesus was on the earth for a little while, only for a few years. And he said to his disciples, he says, I'm going to go. I'm getting ahead of myself. This is in my notes later, but it's all right. I'm going to just keep going anyway. And he says, I'm only here for a little while, but it's good that I'm leaving because I will send someone for you. I will send the Spirit and he will be from God and he is God and he will enable you and empower you and comfort you and be the advocate for you before God and all of these things. And he says, it's good that I go. And sometimes I think we're like, oh man, I wish that Jesus was with me. Like if Jesus was next to me, I wouldn't have done that stupid thing. You know what I mean? If Jesus was in the passenger seat, I wouldn't have run the orange. I knew it was late. You're kidding, orange light. It was red. If Jesus was in the seat next to me, then I would have stopped. But we forget that Jesus lives in us, that the Spirit is in us. And that little thing that says, that was a red light, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you and convicting you, yeah? You with me tonight? You excited? You glad that you're in church? Come on, let's get into it, hey? You know, we are called by God, and he has these amazing calls and these amazing plans for our life, but we can't do them without the Spirit of God. Because God calls us and he enables us. He doesn't do one without the other. He doesn't say, here's the massive plan. You know, he says to the disciples, go, make disciples of all the nations. But then he says, but wait for a little bit, because I'm going to send someone who's going to let you do it. He doesn't say, go, Peter, you're a fisherman, go and do everything in your own strength, because it wouldn't work. He says, no, just wait a minute, because I'm going to send somebody to help you. I'm just going all through my notes right now. So you're just going to have to write them down and then figure them out when you get home, do a little bit of message prep on your own so that you can just tell your friend what it was about because you're confused. Anyway. You know, we need to be people who will embrace the Spirit. I think we look at it and we think it's like this weird thing. But, you know, you can be spiritual without being spooky. And I think, you know, the church historically goes like either way sometimes. And we need to find that place where we can not be weirdos, but where we can really embrace and engage with the Spirit of God in our lives and let him flow through us in power, yeah? And let's see the things that we know we can see and the stuff that's in the Bible that God was doing in people's lives, that's for us as well now. And we don't need to be like, oh, it was just a good thing in the past that people got healed. No, people can be healed, amen? And the Spirit of God is there for us and we need to be people that, you know, let's go for it. You don't have to be a wacko to have the Spirit of God in your life, yeah? I have the Spirit of God in my life. I don't think I'm a wacko. Maybe you do, and that's an issue and may ruin my point, but I don't think I'm a weirdo, so there you go. You know, God is relational. I was thinking today, like, how do you explain... And this week, like, how do you explain the Holy Spirit? How do you talk about the Holy Spirit? Because, you know, there's heaps of stuff about Jesus. It's easy to talk about Jesus because he was a man. And so it's like, well, he's there. The stories are there. I understand that, you know, he had arms and legs and a face and he walked around and he did stuff and it was this narrative thing that, you know, I can get my head around. But the Holy Spirit, how do you talk about the Holy Spirit? And I was just thinking about how God is relational. And God is relationship. And even before us, God was relational. It's not like God likes relationships. God is a relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God is a relationship, self-contained. He loves it. He loves relationships, yeah? And that's just what he's about, amen? And the reason that we were created was to have relationship with God because he's like, I already have myself in this Trinity, but I just want more friends. And so I'm going to make people in my own image so that they can be, and then by their own will, they can love me and I can love them and we can have this relationship. We need to understand that God wants to connect with us. Sometimes we start to think about like the Holy Spirit and we're like, it's too hard. You know, I've been praying and I don't feel anything. But like, we think that God is like trying to test us. Like, he's like, if I try hard enough, then the Spirit will move in my life. But that's not what it's about. You don't need to strain and strive. You know, God actually wants to connect with you. You know, we had an amazing time of worship just then, and I just felt God's Spirit on me, and my eyes start to well up because that's what I do. And you know, you just feel God's Spirit. He's like, well, God, thank you for your presence here right now. Now, as you read the Word daily, is it just like, oh, God, thank you that you're speaking to me? You know, take a second, like as you read the Word, and just take a second, just say, God, I know that you want to speak to me, so help me to hear what you're trying to say. Because God, he wants so much to have a relationship. You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit would come on one person, like on a judge or a prophet, and the Spirit of God, and God would have a relationship with them, and through them, he would talk to the people. And then he's like, well, that's not good enough. It's not working. I'm going to send my son Jesus. And while Jesus was on the earth, he had this connection with these 12 guys, and they had Jesus with them all the time, but it was only a few. And he's like, well, I need more. I want every person to connect with me. I want every single person in the planet to have relationship with me. And so I'm going to send my Spirit on the earth so that every single person could be filled with the Spirit. Every single person could have relationship with God. Amen? The Holy Spirit is not spooky. The Holy Spirit is there for us to have relationship with God. Amen? Come on. So excited. I'm blown away how much God just, he desires relationship with us, and so he makes a way. We think that somehow it's our own effort, like somehow I need to do this, this, and this, and then I'll be released in the Spirit. But God makes a way because he wants to, yeah? The whole thing is from him, you know? Whew. All right, let's get back to the message. Turn with me to John 16. Actually, go to Acts 4, 1. It's only a couple of pages across. Because I want to, you know, actually read the bits of Bible that I've been just yelling. And so, you know, Jesus says to the disciples, like at the end of the Gospels, he says, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, I will be with you always, yeah? And then he says in Acts 1, chapter 4, he says, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so he's saying to the disciples, he's saying, don't go and do it in your own effort or your own strength, but wait, because I'm going to send somebody who's going to help you, who's going to empower you, who's going to be in your life. You know, he says, like, you were baptized, or John was baptizing you in water. Like, we were singing that song, like, that I Will Rise, and that's about baptism, yeah? It's about going into the waters and then coming up again, you know? Being dead in sin, but alive in Christ. That's that baptism, and it's so important. And Jesus says, not only will you be baptized in water, but you'll be baptized in the Spirit, where you'll go from your old way of thinking, your old way of feeling, and you'll rise up into the spiritual realm and be the person that you are meant to be and that you are called to be. Amen? And so he says, so wait, because you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then they are, and it is awesome. In Acts 2, it says that they were there and they were in this room, and it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, this is verse 2 if you're with me, came from heaven, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is just like the manifestation of the Spirit of God in their lives as God comes down on them and he fills their heart, and it overflows in their language and in everything they do, and the Spirit comes out and it's this amazing thing. And then Peter gets up, and you know, the guy that was a fisherman and a mess and denied Jesus, he gets up and he preaches to thousands about Jesus Christ. And it's this incredible thing where when the Spirit of God touches somebody's life, they are empowered, they are enabled, they're emboldened, it's made possible for them to do what they've been called to do. Amen? Okay. Good. We need more of the Spirit of God. Yeah, let's not be people who are just shying away from it. Let's not be people who are like, yeah, okay, I'm okay with God. I'm okay with Jesus. Let's be okay with the Holy Spirit, amen, because He wants to move in our hearts and in our lives, and He is there for us. You know, in John 16, Jesus is just talking to His disciples. I love just the end of John, like the last few chapters, because Jesus is just like downloading to His disciples. And my Bible's got like the red bits where Jesus speaks, and it's just pages of red bits. Like nobody got a word in. Jesus was just talking and talking, because He's like, I'm going soon. I need to tell you all this stuff. And it says here, it says in verse 7, "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." And Jesus is saying to His disciples, the disciples still thought that, you know, Jesus had come for some earthly kingdom, that He had come to overthrow the Roman government and do something like that. You know, they're still not quite getting it. And He says, no, it's better that I go. Because if I go, then the Spirit can come. And then it won't just be us hanging out in the room together, but everybody will be able to hang out with God. Amen. Everybody will have the Spirit of God in them. And it's this amazing gift. Amen. So He's like, it's better that I go so that He can come. You know, God doesn't want us to be alone. Jesus didn't leave so that we would be alone, but He left so that none of us would be alone. Amen. And all of us would be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Come back to John 14. Jesus, this is, I'm doing it out of order, but it's okay, okay? John 14, verse 15, this is kind of the key scripture that I want to share around tonight. It says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate." I like that, because Jesus is like, I was already here. I'm already an advocate on your behalf. I'm already here. I'm already moving. I'm already healing. I'm already going to die for you. Like, it's already going to happen. It's already happened. But I'll send someone else as well. Another one. Come on. How good is God? "To help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of the truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Amen. It just goes on and on and on. It's a really good passage, that whole thing. And I'm tempted to just read the whole lot, but I won't, because you can read. You've got your own Bible. But I do. There is another bit that I want to read, so I'm just going to find it. In verse 25, it says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but He comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what the Father has commanded me." So Jesus is saying, I need to go so that the Holy Spirit can come. Yeah, He's saying, I need to go, and don't be worried, don't be troubled, because I'm going to give you peace, I'm going to give you power, I'm going to give you an advocate between you and God that will do everything, will teach you, will remind you of my teaching. You know, when you read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit reminds you of the teaching, yeah? And then when you've got that filled in your heart, then you go about your day, something happens and that verse pops into your head. The Holy Spirit reminds you of the teaching. It's in the Bible, amen? Come on. So I want to focus on this. In verse 16, it says, "I'll ask the Father and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." And if you read like the Amplified, like the word advocate is complicated in the Greek. Because, you know, all Greek words are complicated. I feel like it's just a really rich language that communicates a lot, and it's cool because, like, here He says this one word, but, you know, when you look at it, it doesn't just mean advocate, it means counselor, it means empower, it means strengthener, it means refuge, it means all of these things, comforter, like all of these words, and that's the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is describing the Holy Spirit. And He says, I'll give you this person, and He will represent me. He will come in my place in your heart. Yeah? Amen? Are you with me? So that then we can live as if Jesus is right there next to us. Yeah? Now, this really helps me understand the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit seems really abstract, but when I picture Jesus next to me, it's really concrete. And so I can have Jesus next to me and in me all the time in the Holy Spirit, amen? And that's the whole point. You know, if you come with me to Acts 3, there's this really cool story. The disciples have been filled with the Spirit, and Peter and John are going up to the temple. It's just Acts chapter 3. It says, there's this guy there who is lame from birth. And every day he just gets put at the temple to beg for money because he can't do anything else. And he says, when he sees Peter and John about it, and he asks them for money, Peter looks straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Verse 5. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And I think Peter gets there and he's like, oh, I've been filled with the Spirit of God. So he's like, well, if Jesus was here, he would heal this guy. But now Jesus is in me. So in the name of Jesus, get up. Amen. And that's how we need to be living our lives. Like, this is a challenge to me. It's a challenge to us that when we go about our lives, it would just be like, well, if Jesus was here right now, then he would heal the guy. He would do something incredible. And Peter's like, well, all right, because I'm here. And Jesus is in me. He told me that he would send us someone else. He sent someone else. We felt its power. We have the Holy Spirit in us. So, okay, now in Jesus' name, get up. Amen? And he says, well, Peter does exactly what Jesus would have done. You know, a few chapters before in the previous book, you know, Peter's denying Jesus and he's walking away and he's doubting and he's gone back to fishing because the whole disciple of Jesus changed the world thing is a bit too much. But now he's filled with the Spirit and he's healing the guy. And he's going, well, I'm Jesus now in this world. Like, Jesus is in me and I represent him. And the Spirit of God is empowering me. And so in Jesus' name, get up, amen? That's the power of the Spirit in our lives. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that, like, before anybody comes to church, before anybody reads the Word, they will see Jesus in your heart through the way that you live. And if we can be like Peter, who understands the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then we can walk with confidence and know and just go, well, if Jesus was here, this is what he would do. And so I'm just going to do it in Jesus' name. It's not our strength or our power. It's the power of God in us. Amen. So I want to just quickly highlight kind of three parts of that, you know, advocate thing. Okay, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit as an advocate, the Holy Spirit as a counselor, and the Holy Spirit as an empowerer. Is that cool? All right, so I might start with empower because I kind of already started with that. You know, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives to empower us and to do the things that he has called us to do. You know, he comes into Peter's life and he totally transforms him. I really encourage you to read the life of Peter because I love it. It's like just God's grace and call and empowerment all over him. And it's this picture of you and me as well. As us who, you know, we're called by God, we're chosen, we're supposed to be following Jesus, but we mess up. And then God just gives us that second chance and he gives us grace and he fills us with his Spirit and his power. And then he just lets us loose on the world, amen. And Peter is this incredible guy, not because of his own incredibleness, but because he just fully embraces the Spirit of God in his life and he just runs with it. And the guy that, you know, a couple of years earlier was fishing out on the lake, he can stand up before thousands and he can preach the name of Jesus. He can stand confidently in courts and he can do all this crazy stuff and he's healing people in Jesus' name and he's got all this stuff because the Spirit of God is empowering him. And it's the same for us, and we have that same opportunity that we can be filled with the Spirit of God and empowered to do what we've been called to do. No, the calling that God has for your life is bigger than what you can do. And so it should be. Like, if you think that you can, if you think you've got a call from God and you've got it figured out and you're going to do it all by yourself, then that wasn't God. Because he's got something bigger, you know. You know, I don't know exactly what God has for us in the future, but I know that I can't do it. I know that we can't do it in our own strength. I know that it's bigger than anything that we could even think of. And so I'm just like, well, God, I need you to move because I can't. And that's exactly where I think God wants us to be, you know. He wants us to be in that place where we're just like, I actually need you. You know, Peter sticks out his hand and he just says, in Jesus' name, stand up. And he's like, I need you right now, Jesus, because this is going to be really awkward if I just pull the guy over. Yeah? Because you know that point where you actually need the Spirit of God. You know, I came up tonight and I was like, God, I don't know. I feel like you want to speak something, but I don't know how to say it. God, I need you to speak through me. And then he does, and you're like, thank you, God. I don't know why I was worried, because it happens every time. No, we're just silly, I think. Anyway, so he empowers us. The Holy Spirit also is an advocate for us. You know, that word just means he represents us. Well, the dictionary says he pleads for us. You know, an advocate of somebody is someone who will just defend them and you know, go out to bat for them and plead for them. And so the Spirit is pleading on our behalf to God. And he's just saying, God, love them. You know, be with them. He knows our heart. He knows everything. And he just pours out love and he says, no, God, use them, fill them, do all this. He's our advocate, yeah? We are not alone. But he represents us and he speaks for us, yeah? And I'm amazed at how much God desires relationship. You know, like God demands justice, but he loves us, so he gives us mercy. And then I can't even connect with God on my own just because I can't. I'm a human. I'm just really bad at it. And so he says, well, I'll give you the Spirit who will then connect with me on your behalf so that I can have relationship with you in your own, you know, disobedience and frailty. Because he's like, I know you're not going to be able to do it by yourself, so I'll just help you out. God wants relationship with us so much that he saves us by his Son, and then he gives us the Spirit so that we can have a continued relationship with him. And he's like, he's doing all of the work so that we can have relationship with God in eternity in heaven. And all we need to do is say, thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace and your Spirit that is on our lives, yeah? You know, that's what it means. You know, I think an advocate also challenges you. It's not just like, oh, you'll be okay, you'll be fine. But, you know, he says, pushes you forward, compels you to do better, you know. It's that little conviction, that voice of the Spirit in your heart that just says, nah, well, yeah. You know what I mean? That it's not like God just booming voice from heaven, but it's the Spirit in your heart, you know, tugging at your heart, saying, this is what you should do. No, that's not what you should do. When you're in that quiet place, that's God's voice speaking to you, yeah, defending you, representing you, and saying, yeah, you need to do that, yeah. Because we are never alone. Oh, that's amazing. And he is also a comforter and a counselor. You know, he just is there to give us a peace. And I love this verse in Philippians 4. It's one of my favorite verses, if I can find it. Yep. And in verse 7, and it just says, well, in verse 6 it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the Spirit of God is peace. That's what Jesus said in John. He said, I'm going to give you peace. And it's like, it's not just peace because everything's going well, but it's peace that transcends understanding, peace that goes beyond anything that you can understand. Because if you look at your life, you're like, I don't understand why I would have peace. But it's the peace of God that transcends all understanding. God wants to comfort us. He loves us. He wants to be there for us, not so that we can, you know, sit back and enjoy comfort from God because we're so desperate and we can't handle life, but because he wants to empower us. And that's why he's also an empowerer and an advocate, you know. He's like, I will help you, I'll give you a peace, not so you can survive, but so that you can do what I've called you to do, and I'll give you the strength to do what I've called you to do, amen? We need to understand that the Spirit is there. You know, it's more than just a good feeling in praise and worship, but it's about being filled with the Spirit of God to be empowered to do what he's called us to do, amen? All right, good. So that's pretty much, I'm out of time. But I just really encourage you to not put aside the Spirit or not think that it's weird, but imagine Jesus in your heart and Jesus next to you. And get this understanding that the Holy Spirit is as much a part of God as God and Jesus. And we need to get all of that, or we're missing out on a lot. Amen. And so this week, don't know. Just spend some time with God. Just spend some time in His presence. Come along on Wednesday night. Come along on Saturday. Come along on Sunday. We are giving every opportunity for you to connect with the Spirit of God. We're trying to make it really, really easy. And so don't miss those chances, yeah? Like, it's probably going to be easy to go, oh, I've got heaps of stuff on, so maybe I won't go on Wednesday, or, you know, I'm tired after work. You know, I'm working on Wednesday all day. I'll be here on Wednesday night. You know, I'm getting married in 2.5 weeks, and I'll be here on Saturday morning. Like, let's get here because God wants to move, and we're trying to make it easy, so make sure that you get here and make it easy for yourself, amen? Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for everything that you've given us. God, that you have called us and that you have enabled us. God, we thank you for your Spirit. God, I thank you that you are here right now. God, that right now that you're at work and you're moving and you're speaking to us. God, that you're filling hearts. God, we just want to take this time right now to just be still in our spirit and let you speak. God, I pray that this week as we go about our normal lives and as we come to church on Wednesday or Saturday or Sunday and we get those opportunities to connect with you, that we wouldn't let them slide by or take them for granted, God, but we would really embrace it and embrace your Spirit and God, that you would really speak to us clearly. God, that we would see freedom from bondage, we would see breakthrough in lives, and we would see just the Spirit moving in power lives and in the people around us, God, that we wouldn't just survive, but that we would do everything that you've called us to do in your power and with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Now, before we finish up tonight, every week we give an opportunity for people to accept Jesus into their heart. And so I want to do that again tonight. You know, it's really simple. It's about saying to God, God, I've been trying to do it by myself, and I'm failing. I really need you. And I understand that Jesus is God and that he died for me on the cross and that he rose again so that I didn't have to pay that price. And so all it is just accepting that and thanking God, asking for his forgiveness. And so we have a simple prayer that we're all going to pray together. And so we're just going to do that now. I'll be on the screen. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life, and I'll follow you. Amen. If you prayed that, or you were stirred by it, or anything, then talk to the person you came with, you know, or whoever your life group leader, and share that with them, because we're not supposed to be alone at all in the Christian walk. Amen.